Blog Talk Radio. Shalom, shalom, everyone. Hopefully everyone is having a wonderful Sunday. Don't want to get it mixed up this week. Last week I was saying Shabbat, and I do know better. Shabbat is on Saturday. But hopefully everybody's having a great day on Sunday. I'm doing something a little different today. I'm actually broadcasting from a favorite little stop hangout restaurant I go to all the time to do my studying and so forth when I want to get away. One of the places I go to. So, you hear a little noise in the background. Just ignore it. You'll hear me loud and clear, though. Again, this is Five Smooth Stones at blogtalkradio.com. Again, if you want to look up any of the information we'll discuss today or anytime, you want to go to blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones. Five Smooth Stones. Don't forget the underscore, as you will get someone else. And we don't want that to happen, okay? But I'm Brother Seth, and Arlene today, who is normally the co-host with me today, she won't be here today, so just be myself. Again, I'm out and about, so please ignore the little, I don't expect y'all to be able to hear it, really, but you may hear a little bit of music in the background or something. But I just thought I'd kind of just do something a little different today, okay? But today we're going to be discussing what we always discuss on Sunday. Can anybody tell me? Wait a minute. We got somebody actually with their hand up. Let me see who is who's calling here. Hold on 1 second. All right. Who is this calling you? Well, I'll try it again.
Hello?
Calling you on
Hello,
the other
line.
Hold on a second. Go ahead, call you on the air. Brother Cash?
Yeah,
go right ahead.
Hello?
Were you wanting to say something? Your hand is up. You press 1.
I'm
sorry?
Yeah, I'm
okay, hold on. I'll get back to you. You must have did it accidentally. Well, let me know if later on if you want to make a comment or a question. Just press 1. So I'm going to go ahead and mute you for now, but if you need to make a comment or something, just press 1 again, all right?
Okay,
caller, go ahead. You're on the air.
This is Arlene.
Hey, Arlene.
Hey.
I was just telling the people that you couldn't be co-hosting with me today, so I'm glad you called in.
Yeah,
I was just getting started, so you're going to be able to listen to the whole thing today?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you call to make a comment or you just listening?
I'm calling just to let you know I'm here. I don't think I would be able to read for you this way, but I'll be listening.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'm glad you called. Keep listening. If you have a comment or a question, just hit 1 as you already know to do, okay?
Okay.
And I think we got Brother Cash on another line. So those of you all right, so I'm gonna go ahead and mute you for now, but hit 1 again if you need to make a comment. And Brother Cash need to hit 1 right now because you're still showing you got your hands up. So, Brother Cash, hit 1 now. Go ahead and hit 1, Brother Cash. It's okay.
Hello?
Can you hit 1
Hello?
For me?
I did
hit
1
on your phone. Oh, okay. Here we go. Sorry about that, people. Got a little bit of a mix up there. But anyway, I just wanted to say that welcome everybody to another episode. I knew that both of them would be listening today. I'm glad to know that Brother Cash did catch up with it this week. So this is a long, long friend of mine that lived in Columbus, and then he moved to Atlanta, and right now he's back in Texas, and so it's good to know that he's listening. Good to hear him stop by every once in a while. Okay, so again, everybody, today we're going to be talking about how we know we are the people of the book, how we know that so-called African-Americans are people of the book, are the true Israelites, are the true Jews, are Jacob, are Jacob, or whatever you want to call it, Yehuda, all these different names that Israel go by. We're just going to have a nice little time today just discussing that, going into the Word, going into Scriptures, talking about common sense, just looking at, you know, truth can be often understood just by using your sense, using the brain, the six senses. I mean, not the six senses, for sure not the six senses, but just using the common sense the spirit that the Most High has given us, if we just would just take the time out into the day and just think about what we're going through as a people and look around us, we'll see that obviously we are fulfilling more scriptures. We fulfill scriptures more than any other people on the planet. It's just that simple. So I just want to open up right quick with a word of prayer, and then we'll just jump right into the Bible study. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this day. Thank you for another opportunity to come to you and study your word, be with your people, love on your people. I just ask today, during this short time out of their lives, that we would definitely hear from you via the scriptures and via the Holy Spirit that reveals the scriptures. We don't take time lightly, Father, and we don't take walking with you lightly. We know that it's very important that we understand you and your word and what you've come to do on in our life. So we just ask today that you would help us to be open up spiritually and that you'd help me to share the things that you want the people to understand in regards to the words and the scriptures we'll share today. These things we ask in your son's name. Amen. Okay, all right, everybody in the chat room, I apologize, I'm just now opening it up. It is open, it is available as of right now. So anybody that want to jump in there and send your questions or comments is more than welcome, okay? A few little things before we actually start. I just want to say that if you go to our page, blogtalkradio.com, /5_smooth_stones, you will be able to see a link under at that page. It's a Google link to my library. It's going to have a lot of the books that actually the Most High put in my life to help me see this clear and clearer and clearer. I initially got this all by myself studying the Bible, but as far as how to share it with other people, making it very clear to people, many books have helped me with that. Okay, so the library is full of well-known, some well-known authors, some not, but has a lot of different books that I read. I would strongly recommend that you would click on that link, go to those books, and see what you can purchase that would help you and enhance your relationship with the Most High. Also, in my comments section, let's see here, Blog Talk have changed everything to where you now can't, I don't know if y'all know this, but you no longer can have links anymore. So that kind of threw me for a loop because I use those links to send people various places on the internet for information to validate whatever I'm saying. So I don't know what they're going through that they have to ruffle up our lives like that, but it really has made it complicated on my part anyway. So anyway, since I don't have the links, let me just go ahead and say this. You can go to YouTube and type in things like Black Jews or Black Israel or Black Hebrew Israelites, and you can get a lot of information that way, okay? Otherwise, you can do something like if you would go to Google and just type in the same thing, you should be able to get links to a lot of the people discussing this revelation. It's really a lot of people, I would say millions, all over the world coming to the realization that the people we know as Israel today in the land of Israel is not the authentic bloodline Israel, and that they are nothing more than judgment that the Most High have put upon Israel. The Most High said, I will scatter you among the heathen. He said he would bring a nation from the north that would occupy Israel as a punishment, and we'll get into some of those scriptures here in a little bit, but I just want everybody to understand that this is not some little short local something, because some of y'all don't, for whatever reason, probably by choice, you don't travel, and you don't listen to very many things outside of your pastor, some of you, and so therefore you're limiting to yourself to whatever your pastor do not know, and what happens is, you don't know of this movement. It just sounds very small to you. When you listen to this blog, it sounds like, you know, Brother Seth is the only person you know talking about this. But I have seen and heard this especially in other cities like Cincinnati, up north. It's, you got to understand, especially if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, because I invited a lot of people to listen today from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and this is a stronghold for traditional churches, okay? If you're not Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Holiness, Word of Faith movement, whatever, you're probably not going to do well in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, because these people ain't trying to hear nothing else. It's just that simple. So what am I saying? I'm saying it's good to hear other voices, other people, other, you know, the Most High don't just have people in one place. You have people all over the planet. And this is one of the reasons I like to travel. And I ain't been everywhere, but I've been a few places. And I've learned in other places there's an entire different way to look at God. Just the world, politics, science, just almost anything you can think of, there's other ways of looking at it. Who says that the United States is the only authority, has the right way of doing everything? I'm beginning to believe we're wrong in most of the things we talk about and think about, I mean, including the way we practice democracy. Okay, we holler democracy, but there's very few people that run this country. Very few, not by vote either. So anyway, I've had the opportunity to see the size of this movement. Had the opportunity to see the size of it, how huge it is, and how much of an impact it's making on not just Black America, but the world. You have to understand, if it's true what Brother Seth is going to be sharing today, and that is that we are truly the people of the book, we live out the prophets more than anybody else. If that's true all by itself, and you have to assume with me for a second that it's true. I know it is true. I know it to be true. Deep within my soul, I know it's true. But you may not, because you're just hearing it for the first time, some of you. But let's just say for a second I was right. Do you understand the impact of what that means in terms of your relationship with the Most High? Some of y'all will relate to the Father different, and that right there is enough to just not name nothing else. If it's going to affect the way you look at the Father, you're no longer going to look at him as being someone that's punishing non-white people, someone that's just favoring whites and punishing Black people and punishing so-called third world countries, but awarding America and awarding Great Britain and awarding Italy and awarding all these white nations and awarding Australia, but punishing Africa, punishing Zimbabwe, punishing Chad, punishing Nigeria, punishing all of these African countries in any non-white place, punishing India. He's favoring one, punishing another. If my revelation, if this revelation I'm talking about right now is going to change the way you look at that, or you look at him, folks, that's major. I mean, that is major. So all I'm saying is let's really, really, really begin to really look at this whole revelation and really take the scriptures out and weigh it against your spirit inside of you and the scriptures and just see if Brother said it's what he's saying is very true, okay? So let's do this. Let's everybody turn in your Bible. We always start with Deuteronomy 28. We always start with Deuteronomy 28, okay? Deuteronomy 28 is one of the chapters that we talk about, and it's because there's so many prophetic prophecies in that one chapter. Leviticus 26 is another one. We use these two the most because there, again, is so many prophecies that just fits so-called African American, and not just so-called African Americans. I don't believe that African Americans are the only one that are the people of the book, and I don't believe that. I mean, we're scattered to all four corners. I mean, we're in South Africa. We're in West Africa, we're in India, we're in China, we're in everywhere you can. The scripture says that the Most High will scatter Israel among the heathen in all countries. So I believe that there are Israelites in all countries. Every single country, there is an Israelite. Now, you have to understand if there's not, what is it today, like 300 300 countries, I believe it is. I mean, no, 200 and some odd countries. No, it's not that many today. I mean, it's not. It wasn't that many in ancient time. Y'all got to bear with me. I'm doing about three things here one time. But there's only like 70 countries, period. The Most High don't acknowledge what we do today when we grab some tanks and guns and go and take another nation. He don't acknowledge that. There's only 70 different nations. Okay, so that would really mean there's only about 70 different people that he would, you know, like Philistines, Jebusites, Amorites. There's only like 70, okay? But of those 70 nations, he said that he would scatter us among every single one of them. Now, today, according to the United Nations, and I've said this before, there are 8% so-called Caucasian, and the other 92% would be non-Caucasian, non-white. Why do I bring up Caucasian? Why do I bring up white? Because in Israel, the people that claim to be the true Jews of today are, to my understanding, pretty much that's all you see is Europeans in Israel. Now, I know they went and got the Ethiopians, but the Ethiopians are Israelites by way of Solomon and Queen of Sheba, who was outside of the family of Israel. So they wouldn't even really be one of the 12 tribes. I mean, they're like, you know, outside, but yet family, kind of like cousins, if you will. So they acknowledge them, but they don't acknowledge the other 12 tribes, the real 12 tribes. Okay, so what does this have to do with my salvation? I know some of you might say, what does this have to do with my walk? What does this have to do with my everyday life, our world, my children's world, the world they're going to experience when they come up? This revelation is vital to understanding anything about living on this planet. Outside of accepting the Messiah and following his example of how to please the Most High, I think, to me, it would probably be number two, and loving your neighbor, of course. It would have to be right up there because, folks, if we are Israel, again, this is going to shed different light on how you relate to the Father, because all of a sudden we will see the Father not having forgot about so-called Africa and not having forgot about so-called non-white people. And I say so-called because I don't even believe in the whole concept of white and black, but I'll use it for now just so y'all won't lose y'all. So, but I honestly don't believe in that, okay? But, again, I'll use it so you understand what I'm talking about. But if it's true that we are Israelites, one of the 12 tribes, that would understand why we went through the horrific problems we went through in this country. I mean, let's just take a little side road. Let's look at some of the things we go through as a people. I'm going to name some areas of life. First, I'm going to go through them, and then I'm just going to go through them a little slower, okay? Look at how we as a people struggle in the area of education. Just look at our people. All of these areas I'm going to name, I'm going to show you how we're at the bottom of every single one of these areas. And if we're at the bottom of every single one of these areas, you have to ask yourself why. We know that no other people is smarter than us. They may be just as smart as we are, but we know there's no such thing as white people being smarter than us or Indians being smarter than us or anybody else being smarter than us. So why is it so-called African Americans suffer? And I'm having a little trouble with this chat room, y'all. It's not coming up like it's supposed to. I apologize. I'm going to keep trying to open it up, though. I know some of y'all, that's the way you do your chat. So, but let's look at some of the areas we suffer more than any other people, okay? Look at the area of education, like I was saying. No other people, especially in America. Let's talk about America. We can go to the world, but let's talk about America because y'all know about America because you live here. Whose kids are graduating at the bottom in terms of even graduating at all, graduating with honors, graduating with good grades, with offers from colleges. It's like, who go through more hell than anybody else in the area of education with regards to teachers, with regards to quality teaching, okay? Who suffer more than anybody else in the area of education in America, okay? All right, let's look at the area of socializing. Socially speaking, who suffer? Who has a problem with understanding who they are as a people? All right? Who don't have a nation, really? I mean, we say we're from America. We say we're Americans. We say we're born and raised in America. You know, we feel like we pay taxes and we served in our military and all this. And we should be allowed to call this our home, but it should be our home, for sure. Especially if you're paying taxes and, like I say, dying in militaries and so forth, and all the contributions we made to this country. It should be our home. But a home is not some place that you say is your home. A home is a place where you are welcome. If you get home and you can't go into the refrigerator, you can't even sit on your own couch, or you can't use the restroom without problems and issues and just all kind of type of madness, is that really your home? So look at us socially and see who go to the things we go through, who suffer the things we suffer. And I'm going to name about 30 areas real quick here, and I guarantee every one of these areas I name, we're at the bottom. And at some point, you're going to ask yourself, why? Why grandma? Why mama? Why uncle? Why daddy? Why brother? Why sister? You're going to ask somebody why. I know foreigners do all the time. Why does African Americans seem to suffer so much? Why do they seem to have it so hard? I mean, other people come here and they just thrive. Now, we know for a fact they're not smart enough. We know for a fact that we make millionaires and billionaires. We know for a fact that they are not superior to us. We know that. Okay? We know that. So all I'm saying is, at some point you're going to ask yourself, why do we go through these things? Why do we go through these things? And where is God at? I mean, we're calling on him more than any other people, seemingly. We're going to church more than any other people. So if we're praying more, we're going to church more, we always talking about God more. I mean, black people seem like to me more than, like I said, more than any other people, we suffer in this country. Well, let me just look at some more areas. Look at the area of medical and medicine and health. Medicine and health. Who suffer more? Who seem to be deprived more in the area of health care? Not having health care, when we do go to the doctor, misdiagnosed, quality of doctors, quantity of visits, charge more for health care. So it's more cost. It costs more for us, and the quality is less. And I'm not on no. I'm not just complaining this Sunday morning, this Sunday afternoon. I'm doing this to let's look at some areas that is prophetic that Israel was supposed to go through. If I can match up our pain with the scriptures, let that people be Israel and everybody else be a lie. If the people in Israel are truly the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then they'll be able to do exactly what I'm doing, but better, be able to show it even clearer. Okay, let's look at these areas. Let's talk about areas like dieting, again, health care, medicine. Who's in better health? Okay, who's suffering diabetes more, heart attacks more, strokes more? What group of older people suffer more health-wise? Again, not insured, not taken care of when they do go to the hospital. Look at the quality of hospitals in the so-called inner cities and the quality of hospitals anywhere else. Again, who in America suffers more in that particular area? Look at the area of religion. Anything that comes out of the seminary is taught in our churches. We're taught by people that don't look like us. Not that they need to. They don't really need to. But we find out later that a lot of the things they teach is not really helping us. Things like the whole thing with Ham being cursed, turned black. And that lie caused black people to suffer for many, many, many years, and probably years to come, hating themselves, hating the fact that it was black, hating the darker skin, hating the natural features. How many of our young people light-skinned so-called black people that have suffered from people making fun of how they look naturally. Then Africans come over here and they have major problems with us because we say things like we're not from Africa, and then we hating on the features of Africa, how they we joke about how they're blue-black. Again, we suffer more in the area of religion because, again, we get most of our teachings from these seminaries that have much hatred and disrespect for so-called African-Americans. If you disrespect yourself, you know other people are going to do it as well. So let's look at these areas real quickly. Housing and zoning, who suffer more in the area of housing discrimination, quality of housing, cost for housing, environmental issues, who's putting in dangerous neighborhoods, houses or apartments built in danger zones, quality of housing, charge for housing, okay? Let's look at things like even simple things like advertising and images. Just look around. Turn off all sound and just simply look around you and look at the images. Who do you see on billboards? Who do you see in advertising? Now, I know it's changing. It's slowly changing, but, I mean, you can walk in Walmart or Kroger's right now and just stand at the magazine rack, and you don't see that much representation of African American. That's why we had to come out with the Ebony and a Jet and now a lot of black magazines. But if you roll that back about 10 years ago, when we was well, a little bit longer than that, you'll see that there was no representation hardly of black people. So it's changing. Thank the Most High, it's changing. But we still suffer at the bottom, misrepresented. We live in a world where everybody else is more seen and visible as being successful, happy with regards to these images. Okay, let's look at laws and lawmakers, rules, laws and lawmakers. Look at the laws that are made. Who do they seem to favor? Who seem to get the worst end of the stick? Okay, who get more time for certain things done? Okay, we have to talk about the little cocaine. We everybody know about how if you call with cocaine versus crack, the different sentencing. Okay, all right. Why is it like that? Why is it designed like that? Okay, who gets life more? Who gets more time in prison? Okay, again, what laws, why are laws seem to be punishing so-called African Americans more than they do other people? All right, why is that? Okay, let's look at something as simple as just the sentencing or the judicial or what I call the punishment arm of America, or the judicial, that's good enough, judicial process. Who does the judicial process favor, and who does it not favor? Okay, I don't even have to go stay on that one long. Okay, let's look at things like defense and military. Okay. Who, I know the military, they say, is one of the most righteous aspects or the most fairest parts of America. It's one of the parts of America where they say you can get the most love at. You can get the most treat. A man can get treated right in the military. And a lot of blacks move up in the military, and they become generals and all this stuff. But you and I both know when it comes down to dying, we disproportionately die on them front lines. Now, the Army, the military is not mostly black. There's lots of whites in the military, but we are dying at a faster, a larger ratio than whites. Why is that? Who are put on the front line first, okay? I'm serious. That military is serious. I can stay on that all day long. News, how about this one? How about this Hollywood? I need Denzel to talk to you about that one. He'll tell you the different things he go through. He's very vocal about discrimination in Hollywood and how it's so hard to just get leading roles and all this. Now, you might think he don't have nothing to complain about, but he's one of the main voices when it comes to disparity in Hollywood, unfairness and being represented and how that blacks are put in roles to you know. And it's changing. They get a little bit of... You know, Hollywood, you got a little bit of we're coming up, so to speak. But my point in bringing up all this is to say who's at the bottom. Whether you're coming up or not, if you're at the bottom, you're at the bottom. I'm just saying why we're at the bottom, okay? So in the entertainment world, it's just as bad. Economically speaking, I don't even hardly to dwell on this one, but economically, who's charged the most yet get the least quality? where are the complaints at with regards to economics? Who are complaining about the anything of regards to do with economics? I'm not on this line today just complaining. What I'm doing is trying to bring some light and saying we fit the Bible prophecies. We're going to read those prophecies in a little bit, but I want to first talk about where we're at in society. Then I'm going to show you how in the scriptures it said we would be just where we're at in society if we are an obedient nation. That does not mean you, listener, have to suffer. If you turn your life up to the Most High and you seek the Most High with everything you have, your household can be blessed. You can live above all of these things. But I'm talking about your nation. You are not an individual nation. You are an individual person. You're still associated with a nation, whether you believe it, accept it or not. You are part, if you're so-called African-American, then you are part of the so-called African-American nation. We are in America, but truly, truly, we are not of this nation. In one sense, we are, I mean, as far as our birth certificate, but I'm talking about spiritually. Everything is as it is in the spirit. As why would the Most High say something? Why would he say it'll be like this upon you wherever you go? He should say it's going to be however it is in that nation. That's how it's going to be. Why would he say that these things are going to be upon you no matter where you go? Because we are all together as one family, even though we're scattered. Just because some Millers leave the city of, let's say they live in Dallas, and they don't want to stay there anymore. They want to spread around. They may spread all over the world. They're still one family, and they still can go through blessings if they obey. I mean, they still can be blessed as Millers all across, or they can be cursed as Millers all across. So we're one family, Israel. And if we obey, he says, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. He goes on to say that he would heal their land. Land? What land? You know, we don't even get it. But the Most High promises that Israel will become a nation again. And let me just address that, because I know some people say, well, I'm in America. I don't understand what y'all talking about. That seems so irrelevant, so irrelevant, so irrelevant to my life. I want you to listen. First and foremost, the Most High said that only a remnant would return to Israel, because he knew you'd say what you just said. Maybe you won't be one of the ones to return. But at least if I'm successful, I can at least show you that you're Israel. Whether or not you want to return to Israel, which most people won't even go there, even if they knew they was Israel, that's up to you. But some people are going to say, you know what? I realize that these prophecies, we live out these prophecies more than anybody else. I'm going to go to where I'm from. Things are going to be better if I can get to where I'm from, especially when the remnants from all over the world start moving at the same time. This is prophetic, and folks, it's already happening. You can laugh and say it's crazy. It's already happening. I mean, that's where I have went for from 2001 to 2008. I visit Hebrew Israelites or Israelites that live in the land of Israel and doing very, very well. And they got their challenges. It's not perfect, but doing as good as Israelis, so-called Israelis. Okay? And that's not to mention the Ethiopians that's there. They're coming up. They got some challenges, but they're coming up. So laugh if you will. A remnant has already returned and starting to return. It's just the vast majority of people there are white, that rule with an iron fist, and rule in a very ungodly way, and we do not acknowledge them as Israel because they have not lived out these blessings and curses, okay? So, again, we suffer in areas like economics, okay, being charged more, being quality, politics, politically, we suffer in that area. Just ask any politician about that one. Look at what Barack is going through right now, and he's president of the United States. So, politically, we, in every area that you can think of, dietarily, even technology, just history, what has been told about us, history, our history is so hidden and we're told crazy stuff about what we've done in history. So we suffer even the area of history. So looking back, as our history is, when we look back, we see more pain than probably, I mean, unless you look at all the way back to the Bible times for us, But, I mean, if you don't know anything about what I'm talking about today and you just look back at our history, who is to feel more ashamed about the history more than any other people? Again, we suffer in any area more than anybody else on the planet. If there is another people that can say, you know what, we suffer just as much or worse, they're nothing more than one of our brothers and sisters scattered among those nations that I mentioned earlier, okay? There are previous episodes every single Sunday. We talk about this. We talk about how we Israel, how it's important, why it's important, why it's relevant to today. Just go to, again, blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones, 5 smooth stones. And you want to just click on any episode that says amazing. Amazing proof of black biblical Jews. Amazing proof of black biblical Jews. If you do that, you'll hear Arlene and I go into this very deep, very deep. Some Sundays we talk about some things more than we do others. Okay, I'm going to try to focus on certain things every Sunday. Today I decided to talk a little bit more about why it's important. I want to hit that a little bit harder because a lot of people still are saying, I don't understand why this is important, why you talk about this so much. This is all self-talk, one of the things we talk about a lot, and I want people to understand the value of it, how it is vitally important. It is so important. It's more important than your last name because your last name is not even a true you, and your last name does come with an identity, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. If your last name is Miller, let's say, just pick on somebody. We'll pick on everybody whose last name is Miller. If your last name is Miller, when you say the name Miller, it comes with the memory. You probably think of your grandmother or your mother. But now, if your last name, if you are truly Israel, if you are truly an Israelite, I'm talking to African Americans and any other people on this planet that live by Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26 right now, if you are truly a Israelite, then obviously you're not going to pay much attention to that last name because you know it goes further than your grandmother and great-great-grandmother, your grandpa and great-great-grandpa, okay? Now, if you are now replacing that with Israel, your whole identity is the most talked about on the planet, the most documented people of all time. You are now rediscovered. You are now linked to substance. And like I said, if Brother Seth is right today in him sharing about the fact that so-called African Americans are the true Jews or the true Israelites of the Bible, that would mean a lot of things would change overnight. Just instantly, that would change a lot of things. That's going to change the way the Bible talk about Israel. Now you're going to see this Bible in a whole different light if we're Israel. I mean, truly, truly. I know a lot of y'all saying, well, I don't know about this. I don't even know if I'm going to listen to you today. Just think about what I'm saying. Let's just, for a second, give me 1 minute of fantasy. What if I'm right? What does that mean? Just go, give me the 1 minute and then go back to thinking what you thought before. Just give me 1 minute and think about this. If we are truly Israel, that means that would explain why a lot of our young men is locked up, because I'm going to read here in a second. We're going to read this, but before I read, I've got to talk to you. I got the latest foundation. Y'all bear with me. We're going to get in scripture. I'm going to write. I think it's going to get tired here in a minute. But that would explain why your young men are locked up, some of y'all's young men. And you probably say, I did everything I could. I did the right thing. There's so many mothers and fathers that are saying that. I don't understand. I don't understand. I understand. Normally, when you raise a child the way I raised my son, they do well. What happened? We are a nation. You're not connected to just yourself. Your children are not just connected to you. We are connected as a people. Some things my kids are going to suffer may not has to do with their village. You know how they say it takes a village to raise a child? Some of this has to do with the village falling down. You know, where is our village today? We don't have the kind of village that they had back when this quote was even made. I mean, there's a reason people say this, because it's a true African proverb. In Africa, they have villages where you don't just answer to your mom or your dad. You answer to lots of parents. And your parents don't answer to just their kids. They are fathering and mothering other kids. And everybody's looking out for everybody. So if you don't have that kind of backup and your kids walk around with a cell phone, which means they got these foreign people calling them with foreign ways of believing and looking at things, got kids who parents don't are not there for them calling your kids. You got kids who are lesbians calling your kids, kids are homosexuals calling your kids. You got kids who are spirit of all types of, they're troubled with all types of spirits. Hopefully y'all believe in evil spirits. And since I said the word evil spirits, I kind of got to go here. I'm sorry. I did forget one thing earlier. We do on Thursdays talk about something called One World Society, the One World Society. On Thursdays, our late night show, that's going to be 12 to 2, those night owls, okay? We talk about the One World Order, the One World Government. The name of this show is called the One World Society, okay? And we talk about what is happening in the powerful realms, the presidents and congressmen. And right now we're talking about demons, devils, spiritual warfare, because we figure until people understand spiritual warfare 101, so to speak, everyday spiritual warfare, they'll never understand those powerful people in high places. So that's on Thursday nights, okay? And, of course, on Saturdays, I'll just go over the schedule, and I'm going to jump right back into the lesson. I was there. Just bear with me. I did forget this earlier. On Saturdays, we talk about, right now we're talking about leprosy. Very powerful, powerful session. It's the most powerful thing I talk about because we talk about how we all became different people, different colors. And when I get through, my goal is to show how we're all one nation, all one people, all from Adam and Eve. But it's one of those things you probably never would hear in your churches. Not because it ain't scriptural. Churches don't always talk about things that are scriptural. They talk about a lot. Most churches talk about things that are safe and that's going to profit them and that's not going to run off members. Okay? This is a topic that you're not going to hear in many places because I talk about white skin and how that is related to the Bible in terms of it being a form, a type of leprosy. Not all of leprosy, but it's a type of leprosy. Vitiligo is a type of leprosy. Albinism is a type of leprosy. And as those people mingle with other people, that's how you form the so-called person we know today as a Caucasian, which is nothing more than our brothers and sisters. They're us. They're nothing more than us that have lost pigmentation. We're the same people. Some more pigmented than others. So I go into this whole pigmented study. I give you names of doctors and so forth. It's very scientific and scripturally driven. Okay, that's on Saturdays. Sunday we do what we're doing today. Every Sunday we do what we're doing today. And then on Tuesday nights, again, that's another midnight show, midnight to 2, we talk about so-called Jews or Israelites all over the world. It's called the Federation of International Jews. A lot of these shows are, all of these shows are archived. You can go and listen and get a taste of all this I'm talking about, okay? So we're on like every other day. But back to what I was saying, it's vitally important we know we Israel. It's vitally important to know we Israel, okay? Hopefully I always do that. I know I was going to forget my point, but I'll get back to it anyway. We'll hopefully I remember that. But let me move to the next step. Again, the Most High looked like he's picking on us if his truth is not known. If you just come to Earth right now as a Martian and look at what we're going through, it looked like the Most High is picking on us. It looked like he's just picking on us. I mean, because, again, we suffer in every single area of aspect, every single aspect of life more so than many other people. So let's look at another thing. If we're Israel, that helps us understand, again, why he picks on us, and it also helps us understand the anger we have toward each other, the disrespect we have toward each other, because at some point, even our own wives and husbands don't understand why we are not prospering as a people, why we're not more further advanced than other people, why we're at the bottom of every single aspect of life. Black people are tired of black people. Black people are fed up with black people. Black people self-hate each other. That's why black psychologists have coined this phrase, self-hate, because of this thing that they were seeing among our people. So you got the Naeem Akbars and the Hares, Mr. and Mrs. Hare, the doctors, the team doctors, husband and wife team that's out there talking about this self-hatred we have among ourselves because we're looking at ourselves and saying why we're at the bottom. Yes, we know about racism, but, you know, I don't think a lot of white people want other people to come in here and prosper the way they do, but they yet do. I'm going to say that again. I don't think a lot of whites, all whites, I'm not going to say this again because I want everybody to get this the first time. When I talk about white America, I'm not talking about every single white person. Some whites have it a lot harder than we do. Some of us will never suffer as much as some white people do. I understand that. I'm talking about those in power. They have tried to stop the Indians. The Indians still thrive. They tried to stop a lot of people. And I don't know about y'all, but most people I know, powerful white people, they could give a hoot about what color you are. They just want to make some money. If you show them how they can get richer, they're willing to make you rich as well. So what am I saying today? What am I talking about today? Let's recap for a second. Let's kind of back up and recap for a second. What am I saying? What's Brother Seth talking about? I'm sharing today how that there is a reason that we are at the bottom of every aspect of life. The Most High says in Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26 and in various parts of the scriptures how this nation called Israel will suffer certain specific things, and how that we live out this more than anybody else. If there's somebody else that live it out more than we do, they're nothing more than our brothers and sisters scattered to one of the four to the four corners of the earth. Okay? It's just as simple, people. I wish I had it, you know, wish I had another way to put it, but it's just that simple. Now, let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to Deuteronomy 28. Put a finger there, and I want everybody to just, like I say, put a finger there and slide over to Isaiah 47. Hold on, that's not what I meant to say. Lamentations 1 and 11. And let me just put somebody on the spot. Brother Cash, you still on the line there? Hold on, let me know, open up your line. And I'd like for you to read that for me. If you can grab your Bible, I'll put you on the spot. If you just don't want to do it, let me know, and I won't make you do it. But I'm asking you to, if you don't mind. Are you there, Brother Cash?
Hello?
Hey, you
hello?
Mind reading Lamentations? Hello? You mind reading Lamentations 1:11?
1:11.
Yeah.
Let me read it now. Let me find it.
You're on the air. Everybody can hear you. And getting some feedback here. Hold on one second, David, while you get that, let me, Arlene, are you there?
Yes.
Arlene, can you hear David? Okay, David Cash, okay?
Yes.
Okay, because I'm having a little feedback here. All right. All right, yeah, David, if you can read Lamentations 1.
I haven't got it yet. Hold on.
Okay.
I'm not having found it yet. Okay.
Okay, take your time. And while he's looking for that, I just want to say we're gonna read Deuteronomy 28, but I just want to hit a few other places, a few other scriptures, and then we'll go to Deuteronomy 28. So it's the reason I had everybody turn there.
I'm having a hard time finding it. Let me see.
Oh, man, you're telling off on yourself now. Lamentations is one of the little small books. I see what you're saying. Go to Psalms.
Oh, I know. Hold it. I was just reading it not too long ago, so I don't know why I can't get it.
But anyway, this brother here is a strong. If I ever pastored, I would definitely want to have the likes of a David Cash there, and I don't mean to put him on the spot, but I'm sure he doesn't mind. He don't mind. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it. But this brother's a strong leader in the churches. I don't know too many people that can go into a church and organize the men and set up service and have it running on time and sharp like this brother can. I so wish he was in my city. So those of you in Austin, Texas, listen to me, and you find yourself pastoring, you might want to get a hold of this brother by getting a hold of me, I guess I should say. But this is a strong pillar in the church, and he and I been through a lot, seen a lot, and I'm just glad that he's with us today. And I'm just going to ask him to read the scripture because I want him playing a part. And has he got it yet?
That's right after Psalms, right?
Well, I tell you what, I'm gonna let you grab that. Now, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna read this Deuteronomy 28 and 68, and then we'll come back to you on that. Just when you get it, give me a second. I'm gonna read this, and then we'll come to you, and I'll let you read that. Okay, it's 1:11. So grab that. But Deuteronomy 28 and 68 is Moses sitting standing on the mountain. He's talking to the 12 tribes of Israel, and he's letting them know what they're going to go through, be it the blessings or the curses. He's letting Israel know, the 12 tribes, again, everybody is there. Gad, Simeon, Judah, all of the patriarchs is there, right there on, I mean, everybody that was living, of course, at that time. And he's talking to them, letting them know what they're going to go through, be it blessings if they obey and curses if they disobey. Now listen to this scripture here, Deuteronomy 28 and 46. I want everybody to skip down to 46, please. He says, Moses, speaking of the blessings or the curses, says to Israel, all 12 tribes, and they shall be upon thee for a sign, S-I-G-N, and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. Again, Moses is speaking to Israel. He's letting them know what they're going to go through, blessings if they obey, curses if they disobey. He says here in verse 46 again, and they, speaking of the blessings or the curses, shall be upon thee for a sign, S-I-G-N, and a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. When I saw that word forever, I didn't need nobody to explain anymore. It was over for me. I understood exactly who we were as a people. I would always say when I heard sermons, David Cash and anybody else listening, over the years I would always say, man, we're just like those Israelites. Why are we just like those Israelites? I would hear about their rebellion. I would hear about what they said, different things of how they felt. One scripture says that they would sigh. They would sigh. They would sigh, S-I-G-H. And that's what David is getting ready to read here. And I would see that and I would say, man, we sigh all the time. Sigh is just basically anything you say out of frustration. It can be curse words, it can be the S word, it can be the F word. It's just what people say when they get frustrated. Sign. Man, doggone it, shoots. Wow. That's all sighing. And again, David's gonna read that in a second. But again, folks, this scripture did it for me, I'm telling you. The fact that Moses said that this was gonna be upon Israel for a sign and a wonder forever. What is a sign known for? S-I-G-N. It's known to identify something. What is a wonder good for? A wonder is just what it says. It makes you wonder. It makes you puzzle. And the Most High like causing the nations to wonder at him and to puzzle the nation. He loved that. That's a form of getting glory. He loved wowing people. People getting that wow look in their eyes. So Moses said these blessings or curses will be upon Israel forever. Okay, David, you got Lamentations 1:11?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, you want to go ahead and read that for the people?
Okay. All her peoples sighing, they seek bread. They have given their pleasures things for meat to receive or relieve the soul. See, O Lord, and consider, for I am become vile.
Wow. Read that one more time. I want everybody to get that. That was powerful. Do that again, please.
All her people signs that seek bread, they have given their pleasure things for meat to relieve the soul. See, O Lord, and consider, for I am become vile.
And that is just talking about how Israel would sigh in pain. Sigh in pain. Okay? And again, this is not a time for me to just, I'm not reading these scriptures just to complain about what Israel is going through. I'm trying to, again, share where we're at in 2011, our exact specific state we're in as a people, and then look and find the scriptures that prophesy that these specific things is going to be up on the Most High people, Israel. Now, before I go any further, let me just say this real quick, real quick. It ain't about just cursing, cursing, cursing. Because some people is enjoying the blessings of the Most High in their life, and the last thing they want is for somebody to say they cursed. If you obey the Most High in your life, you fear Him, you keep His commandments that the Holy Spirit show you that you're to keep. That the Holy Spirit show you that you're to keep. You will enjoy the highest quality of life on this planet. And that means for sure no lack. If you don't, and you are an Israelite, you will find yourself living out a lot of these things we're reading. It's just that simple. Even if you do obey, even if you do obey and submit yourself to the Most High. David, I want you to read one more scripture, if you don't mind. Can you turn to Deuteronomy 28, please, David, if you don't mind?
Oh,
you
sir.
Still there? Okay, yeah, Deuteronomy 28. Yeah, if you can turn to Deuteronomy 28. But if you find yourself suffering and going through some of these same things, it's prophetic. Now, I know a lot of you say, well, everybody's suffering. Everybody got pain. I'm going through a lot of pain. My people go through, my family go through a lot of pain. Of course that's true. Every nation has their own pain. But I'm talking about who is Israel today and why is it important? We talked about how the Most High looked like he's biased, looked like he's just picking on the people. We start talking about how that we disrespect each other because we don't know why we're suffering. If we realize we're Israel, all of a sudden we can really love people. We can really reach out and understand why our people are doing what they're doing. Okay? It's just that simple, people. You will, it's like if you're getting a whipping from the Most High and you don't know what, if you're getting a whipping from your mom and dad and you don't know why you're getting a whipping, you'll hate your mom and dad for that or get tempted to. But now if they tell you why and you realize you brought it on yourself, it's almost like, you know, you kind of give them a pass because you understand they're doing it for your own good. So that's one, the Most High looking like he's doing these things for a reason and not just abusing us. Number two, again, we as a people will be able to love each other more because we understand why we're suffering as a people. I mean deep love, that not that I love you, my brother, I love you, we hear that all the time. I'm talking about a show of respect. How about that word? We'll be able to respect each other more. A new profound respect will have for each other if we know that we're fulfilling prophecy by going through these horrible situations versus just we just dumb and just not can't come together. We're just stupid and we're just evil and all these other things. You see, it's prophetic. It makes more sense. Number three, we will no longer see the white man as the problem, as the enemy, as the culprit. And the white man and the white woman, or the white, our white brothers and sisters, shall I say, they won't feel this so-called white man's burden that they always have to be doing something because they owe us so much. They will understand that they were used of the Most High as scriptures. Hopefully I'll hit today. It's going to talk about how that the Most High would use a nation from the north to break the nations down because of disobedience. Oh, yes, all of this is in the Bible. Many times. I've read over 20 times to talk about a nation coming out of the north, a whirlwind coming out the north. Woe he that coming from the north, coming from the north, coming from the north, coming from the north. This is Bible. It's not in Deuteronomy 28. These are other things we get into. Hopefully we get into them today. But if I can show you that, then we can understand white people are not our problem. White people are not. That it's the Most High. The scriptures even said that Israel would not be able to rise. Now, if the Most High say you as a nation will not be able to rise, you may be able to rise individually. If you go out there and apply the principles of the Most High, of course you'll be able to rise individually. We're never not going to say that. But I'm talking about nation. We're talking about a nation today. Nation, nation, nation. That's the word, not individual. Just like you might say, well, I don't care about no nation. As long as I'm doing good, that's fine. Well, think about Christ, what happened to him. That's the only time he cried that we know of. He knew he was going to be able to raise Lazarus, but he mourned for his nation that was full of doubt and unbelief, that was suffering and dying disproportionately. I mean, dying, you know, and suffering the things Israel suffered. It's enough to make you cry. So your nation is going to go through, but you'll at least be able to tell your brothers and sisters why they're going through what they're going through and how this is going to change for us. The Most High said there's two ways Israel is going to be spared. Israel will be spared by fulfilling the scripture, if my people, which are called my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and would heal their land. That's one way. But there's another way we'll read. Hopefully, if time, we don't do it this week, we do it next week. How he said after 400 years, he would remember Israel's pain and relieve them or spare them. He said the heathen will boast about how he's doing this to Israel, and he'll think he's doing it. The people that rule over us, this is where whites in power will be judged, because the scripture says they're the people that rule over Israel. And it won't just be whites, because India is not ruled over by whites. Our brothers and sisters in India that are one of the lost tribes that claiming that too, they're not ruled over by white people. But whoever rule over Israel, wherever they're at, they're going to say, we're the ones doing this to them. We got power over them in the Most High, because they don't say that the Most High did it, and they say they're doing it. The scripture says they are going to be judged for that, and this is why America will be judged. It's just that simple, because those people that say those things, they are going to get taken care of by the Most High. If they just do their part and don't take it no far, don't take it too far, they wouldn't even suffer, because the Most High just used them. But the scriptures predict many times that they're going to take it too far. All right, David, you there? Yeah. Still there?
Yeah.
Okay, look at Deuteronomy 28. And 68. Read Deuteronomy 28 and 68. I know some of y'all listen to us every week. Y'all probably say, oh, you read that scripture every single week. Some scriptures we're going to read every week. But then we're going to, starting today, well, we'll just start this next week. We're going to start focusing on certain aspects of Israel's suffering. Like 1 week we'll talk about the sons and daughters, what they're going to go through. You know, and maybe we'll throw in the preachers, because it does talk about the Israel's prophets that rule over them, how they would act. And that's a trip. That week is going to be a trip. We want to talk about that. And then the next week we'll talk about, you know, how they're going to be restored and what's going to happen when they're restored, and, you know, talk about the people that's going to rule over them, certain characteristics of them. And then another week we'll talk about, you know, the land, where they're going to be, how the land is going to be. We can break this up. But some scripture was up every single week, and this is one of them. Go ahead, 68, please.
Okay. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships. By the way, wherefore I will speak unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again, and there you shall be sold into your enemies for a bondsman and a bondswoman, and no man shall buy you.
Read that one more time. That's strong. Now here's the Most High saying that his people is going to be put in ships. If you don't get nothing out of that scripture, the nation of Israel, it's going to be put in ships. That ought to be enough right there. But then it goes on to say they're going to be sold as slaves, and nobody is going to buy them or buy them back and buy back their freedom. Read again, David.
And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships. By the way, whereof I speak unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again, and there you shall be sold unto your enemies for a bondsman and a bondswoman, and no man shall buy you.
Now that right there, to me, is the most powerful, one of the most powerful scriptures that I know of in this whole presentation I'll show today. And the reason why that scripture is powerful, because, I mean, it speaks for itself. A nation is going to be put in ships. I mean, if nothing else, that separates us by far from any other nation. Because the people in Israel today, all love, much love and respect to them. I don't ever want us to, in my presentation, for me to come off as though I hate them people or anything like that. I'm just simply looking at scripture. We're having a scriptural conversation about the true identity of Israel and how it's important. The people over in Israel today do not live out that scripture we just read. But, David, I guarantee you, your parents and your parents' parents lived out that verse. They was put in ships. Because as I said earlier, your last name is Cash. And it had nothing to do with you being from that whole region of Africa in Israel. Nobody over there had the name last name Cash. Or my last name being Turner. Nobody. It's a Turner. What's a Turner? You understand?
Yeah.
So you mind reading a couple more? I know you probably have things to do, and I don't want to hold you up. You mind?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, let's go look at some of 64, and I appreciate your time. 64,
who?
Verse number, go ahead, Dave, and read verse number. Why don't you start at 62? Now, we're bouncing around Deuteronomy 28, but read verse 62, Deuteronomy 28. We're going to stay in this chapter for a minute. Verse 62, please. And while you're looking up there, let me just say this real quick. Because every week I think to say something that I didn't say before or in none of the weeks prior. So I got to say this. Another reason this is important is because God said it. Because the scripture says that certain things is going to happen to Israel and then the end will come. Because the Most High said that Israel would do this, Israel would do that. Because the Most High said that I'll bless those that bless you, I will curse those that curse you. That would mean we are required to know who Israel is. But this don't have nothing to do with my salvation. If the Most High has this Bible full of Israel and what they're to go through and how things are to be and how that they would reject the Messiah and the other people would be engrafted in, the Gentiles would be engrafted in, it would make it your business. And you as a servant don't have no business saying what you like to study and what you don't like to study. We're to study the whole book. Christ said, man shall live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, of the Most High. So the fact that this book is full of Israel and their history and things they're supposed to go through and their prophets, is prophesying from Genesis to maps, we are required to know who Israel is. So you can't run from this subject, listener. It's vital, vital, vital to your spiritual existence that you know who Israel is. Okay? So let me go on, and before David reads that, let me just say another thing. You will not understand the word. The word of the Most High will be very confusing without us putting in the proper people as Israel. As long as you look at the people of Israel today as the true Jews, a lot of things in the Bible is just not going to make sense. It's just not going to make sense. Here's a classic example. The Most High said that if Israel obeyed, they would have it better than any other nation in the world. They will rule over all the nations. They will lend and not borrow. And that's the blessing. That's in Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 15. We're not going to read all those scriptures right now. That's something you can do when you get a chance, because we read them in previous episodes. I'm trying not to do every single thing every single week. But we've read that. You can read that when we're done. Write that down, Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 15. It talks about the blessing that's going to come on Israel. And basically, in a nutshell, he just says they're going to be blessed in everything they do and everything they touch. They're going to lend to nations and not borrow, be ahead and not beneath. And then Deuteronomy 28, about 16 through 68, is the curses. And when you look at those curses, no other people live them out more than we do. So when the scripture says that Israel is going to, if they obey, they'll be at, when they disobey, they're going to suffer more than the other nation. And you look at Israel today, the people of Israel today, they're not blessed. I mean, they're not cursed above all. Let me just back up. The scripture says if they obey, they'll have it above, they'll be above all nations. If they disobey, they'll have it worse than all other nations. Okay. Obviously, the people in Israel today is disobedient because of how they're treating the people in the Gaza Strip, how they became a nation. The Most High didn't say that Great Britain and the United States can do all the wicked things they did to cause that nation to be a nation. It wasn't a godly way of that nation become a nation. The way Great Britain and America did, they can make any nation. They can create any nation they want to with weapons and pushing those people, the Palestinians, out like that. You can go and take any nation, call it God. That's not how God said Israel was going to become a nation.
So the word don't make sense. Bible don't make sense. If some people in Israel is the true Jews, the Bible can't make sense. I can easily lie. I'll make it look like it's a cult because it just don't, it don't line up. It says if Israel disobedient, they will suffer. Okay, they're disobedient, and they ruling everything. Y'all know that they run a lot, the so-called Jews run a lot of our banks. You know they run the media, a lot of the media, most of the media, Hollywood, porn industry. So I'm saying these people are some very wealthy people. Everybody know that about the Jews, so-called Jews. So now if they're disobedient, how is they able to rule? They're supposed to be suffering. We know they ain't obedient right now. Scripture says that Israel will return from all nations. Okay, all nations is non-white. That whole land is supposed to be predominantly non-white because the world is predominantly non-white. Why is that nation so white, yet the world is black, and the Most High say Israel is going to come from these black lands, and they're supposed to be black then. Something ain't right. So is it any wonder why all those prophets and preachers back in 1948, around that time when Israel became a nation, started predicting the end of the world because Israel had finally become a nation, and the Bible says when Israel become a nation, that they will come and do a quick work and the Messiah would return. So people start predicting the Messiah is going to return quick, and it starts shaking up everybody when Israel became a nation in 1948. It was something. Check it out. It was a major thing. But then, when nothing happened, and that six-day war and all this stuff, when that stuff started happening, people started kind of, I don't know, maybe I was wrong. Again, if you look at the wrong Israel, which is a type of clock, you can never figure out when the Messiah is going to return, or the season. Okay, if you don't mind, David, go ahead and just read 62, and we'll stop at 60. Why don't we just go ahead and read down to 65, 62 to 65, and that'll be it. And I appreciate that. If you can just do that, I'll do the rest of the reading.
And you shall be left few in numbers, whereas you were as the stars of heaven will multiply, because thou wouldst not obey the voice of the Lord.
No, it says, read that again, David. That's multitude. Okay. Read that again.
Okay.
Please.
And you shall be left few in numbers, whereas you were as the stars of heaven, for multitudes, because thou wouldst not obey the voice of the Lord thy God.
Okay, on down to 64.
Want me to read 64?
On down, 62, 63, 64, please.
And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do good, to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to none. And you shall be plucked from off the land whether thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter among all people from the one end of the earth even until the other.
Now back up and read 64 again. He shall scatter you.
And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth even until the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods which neither thou nor thy father have known, even wood and stone.
Okay, David, I appreciate that. I'm going to go ahead and mute the line. I appreciate that. And if you have a comment or a question, just hit one again like you did, and I'll open the line back up, okay? Appreciate that, though, my brother. All right. But like you just read, the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, and the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, and the Lord shall scatter thee among all people. Israel is among all people. Now, the earth is predominantly black or non-white right now. And the Bible says in the latter times that Israel will become a nation again, and they've been scattered among all people, as we just read. That means that when all these people come back, it's going to definitely be, as the scriptures call it, the great speckled bird. It's going to be of all types of people. But when you go to Israel today, it's predominantly non-white. I mean, white. There's a problem I have with that. So those the word is not going to make sense as long as you have the wrong Israel in place. You're not going to understand Bible prophecy. So people like Hal Lindsey, Hilton Sutton, Jack Van Ampey, all these end-time prophets, look at them, listen to them. It's not making sense what they're saying. They want us to support Israel, and Israel is acting like a fool, dogging after Palestinian people. And I'm shocked that black people would just sit back and support any of that. But we do. Send our money to Israel. Anyway. So, again, Deuteronomy 28, a lot of nuggets in Deuteronomy 28. It also says, I'm going to read verse 48. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. You might say, we ain't destroyed. Yeah, you may be alive, but the culture and the people and the camaraderie and the unity is destroyed. The Lord shall bring the nation against thee from afar. They're going to come from a far place. From the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flyeth. Eagle? What's up with the eagle? A nation whose tongue thou will not understand. A nation whose tongue thou shall not understand. Do you really understand the thinking of the people that oppress us? Do you really understand their language? Just not saying you don't understand them talking English and all that. I mean, what they're saying, do you really understand? A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee neither corn, wine, oil, or increase of thy kind, or flocks of thy sheep until he have destroyed thee. We've heard destroyed thee about three times. And when I first read to them, I'm like, well, that can really relate to us because we're still around. It don't mean you're going to die destroyed. It means your unity, your identity, who you are, what you're about. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates until thy high fence walls come down, wherein thou trusted. Whatever you trusted and protect you until it's come down, wherein thou trusted. Throughout all thy land, and he shall besiege thee in all thy gates through all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And thou shalt eat, listen to this, people, listen to this, and tell me who lives out these prophecies. Who does it? And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body. It's talking about your kids, the flesh of thy sons and thy daughters. It don't mean you're going to literally eat their flesh. It means you eat what they need. Eat what they need to take care of them. There's other scriptures that use that same word, eating, and it means something different. So it don't mean eat. Some people actually thought that's what it means. Again, eating is taking what they need for their own health care, for their own well-being. I read again, and thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and the flesh of thy daughters, which the Lord hath given thee. See, the reason why I say that is because about the whole eat portion is because it'll say that, then later on it keeps talking about your sons and daughters, but if you ate them up like they're like you're some cannibal, then they wouldn't be around, okay? Which the Lord thy God hath given thee in the siege, okay? In the siege or in the battle. In other words, there's a battle going on. That's why you did it. And in the strait with straightness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. Let me read that whole thing again. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body and the flesh of thy sons and thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee in the siege or in the battle, and in straightness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. So here we go. Watch this. It's going to make it a little clearer. So that the man that is tender among you,
and very delicate. His eyes shall be evil towards his brother. Okay? That's what I was just saying. This is this whole eat business. And toward the wife of his bosom, and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave, which he shall leave, which he shall leave. Let me read that one again. So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil towards his brother and towards the wife of his bosom, and towards the remnant of his children, which he shall leave, so that he would not give to any of them of his flesh and of his children, whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left him in the siege. See, he don't have enough for him, so he's going to eat of his family. Again, this doesn't have nothing to do with cannibalism. And straightness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. It don't mean physical gates. It just means anything that normally protects you. Here's the woman. Here's about the woman. Okay, the tender and delicate woman among you, which will not venture to set the sole of her feet upon the ground for delicacy and tenderness, her eyes shall be evil towards the husband of her bosom, and towards her son, and towards her daughter, and towards the young one that cometh from between her feet, and towards her children. And she shall bear, let me reread that one again. And towards her young one that cometh out from between her feet, and towards her children which she shall bear. For she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege, and straightness wherewith thy enemy shall distress thee in all thy gates. Did y'all get that? She's eating the children, again, taking from them, because she's suffered want in all things. So she's suffering and wanting every single aspect of life. What does this got to do with eating the children? Again, not cannibalism, folks. And thou will not, if thou would not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear the glorious and fearful name of the Lord thy God. Okay? So, again, I'm kind of jumping around here, but I just want us to see that this, I want y'all to read Deuteronomy 28 when you get a chance, because I want to read some other scriptures. Again, I'm trying not to say the same thing every week, but I just encourage you to really listen to the previous episodes. We go into these, go into many blessings and many curses. Again, I'm trying not to repeat anything I say, because I want y'all to be able to listen to these previous episodes and get more scriptures, okay? We can cover more scriptures if I don't repeat, all right? But as you see, these are just a few things. Here's some other scriptures. It says, verse 41, before we leave Deuteronomy 28, verse 41 says, thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. Okay? Listen to verse 43. And the stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Wow. Listen to this. This is talking about, I'm just going to read it here. I see another one here. Let me read this real quick. Number verse 37. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, a byword among all the nations, for the Lord shall lead thee. Wow. Again, and thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, a byword among all the nations, for the Lord shall lead thee. Number verse 30 says, thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. I'm going to say that one again. And remember, he's talking to a nation, and he's saying they're going to have these wives, but another nation is going to come and be with this woman. Now remember, he's not talking to just one person. So when you say you shall betroth a wife, he's not talking to one person. Moses is up on the mountain. He's speaking to all of the whole house of Israel, all 12 tribes. Some people estimate that about 1 million people was there. I don't know the amount of numbers, but I know there was many, many people. So when he talks, sound like you're talking to one person, you're really talking to the whole nation. Again, listen to what he says.
thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Wow. Now, so-called African American is not even the color that they were out of those slave ships because of that prophecy right there. Again, will have a wife, but another nation, another will come and lay with him. Now, what other people can say that one? Okay? So, people, again, every week I'm trying, the challenge is not to say the exact same verse. And I know some of y'all are listening for the first time. It's probably, you know, that's not fair to y'all, but some people have been listening more than three or four times. And, you know, I want to let them see that we have other arsenals, if you will, to that we can give to make this point. Here's how I want to make this point another way that we're Israel. When Israel went into captivity, they went into Egypt, and it was in Egypt. Some people argued it was 400 years. Some people say it was less. But it don't matter which group is right. They was in Israel enough to where if they were white, they would have came out black. I'm going to say that again. With black being the dominant genes, and everybody know that. If you have any lick of science inside of you, you know that black is the dominant gene over a white gene. So if a white person mixes with a black person, the baby is going to come out non-white. So if you do that over 400 years, or any amount of years close to that, to those that don't believe that, the bottom line is that nation could not have came out lily white in black charcoal Egypt. Egypt then was charcoal black. Wasn't like it is today. So even if you believe that the first Israelites were white because they're white now, which is, I don't know how with all this mixing over the thousands of years, and then they left Egypt and went into another black land and mixed among the Canaanites. So this is another reason it doesn't make sense to believe. But let's talk about trying to mix this up. So let's look at another reason this is important. There can never be peace in the Middle East with the people in Israel today claiming to be the true Jews. Here's why. Palestinians are never going to give up the fight. They're never going to give up their land and say, this is your land. They say, we was here first. Y'all can't come take this land. But I bet you, if all of a sudden everybody on the planet is a household saying that the so-called African-Americans and people in South Africa, the Lembas and the Ashanti people and all these other people across the planet is true Israel. That's not being said right now in Israel. I'm talking about to where it's a household name like the name Coca-Cola is. Is as popular as Coca-Cola is or Pepsi is or Sprite is in every household. If it's that known who the true Jews are, the nations of the world would seek to try to help those true Jews or true Israelites. That's why the nation of Israel right now go get so many passes. That's why all these white Christians and black Christians putting their pocketbook where their mouth is at and supporting that nation because they've been brainwashed over many years that those are the true Jews without any proof. Pat Robertson didn't just say it. They don't have no scriptures to back it up. People just accept it, open their wallet, start sending money. So what I'm saying is if the world know who the true Israelites are, don't worry. The nations of the world know how to get money and support to them. Don't worry. The nations of the world know how to get commerce to them. Don't worry. The nations of the world know how to all of a sudden protect them. And we are remnant. Remember the scripture says only a small remnant is going to return to Israel, not the vast majority of Israel, because the Most High knew most of us will laugh at it. Even if we did believe we was Israel, even if we do believe we are truly the people of the book, we ain't going to move no Israel. It's just not going to happen. How many people tribute? I mean, you know, we've laughed at people like Farrakhan and Garvey for saying, let's back to Africa. Both I knew the sickness we would have, even if we didn't know we was Israel. But there are going to be that small remnant that say, you know what? One out of four of us is going to get cancer anyway. We're dying anyway. Our village have collapsed. And even if you raise your kids right as you can, because we are a nation, and we are a nation within a nation, whether or not y'all like it or not, we're associated, we're linked. And if you don't have that village that the old African proverb talks about, then you really can't guarantee that your kids won't do this, that, and the other, unless you raise them up in a bubble. And God forbid they get outside of that bubble because how they act. So, again, it's just incredibly important that people know who true Israel is if you're going to go by the Bible, and especially Bible prophecy. You can just forget Bible prophecy if you're not going to acknowledge Israel. You might as well just read the scriptures and just do it. Whatever happened in the world just happened. You know, you're going to be probably on the wrong side. You're going to be supporting the wrong people. You know, you're not going to understand this book without understanding. If you take this key that I'm offering today, this revelation of who the true Jews are, use it as a key and slide into the scriptures and turn it, it'll make a whole lot more sense. Okay? So, moving right along. I want to look at another scripture. If everybody can turn in their Bibles to Leviticus 26. We always talk about Deuteronomy 28. But Leviticus 26 is full of prophecies that fit us like a snug glove. And I'm just going to start reading Leviticus 26. Some of y'all are driving, you don't have a Bible, so I'll be your Bible for you. But let's start with verse 44. Again, we're going to jump. Well, let's start with verse 18. Verse 18, Leviticus 26. Okay? Verse 18 says, if ye will not yet for all heart, hold on, let me back up. Got too much in my mouth. And if ye will not yet for all this hearken, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. Seven times more than who? What's seven times? Seven times what? Seven times more than other nations. Israel basically is suffering wherever they're at seven times more than the other nation. Now, if you would read verse 18 like I just read, let me just go ahead and just read a little bit because it's going to actually say seven times more again. Okay? Check this out. Verse 19. But I will break the pride of your power, and I will make the heavens as iron and your earth as brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase. That's when we was in the land. Neither shall the trees of your land yield their fruits. And ye shall walk, and if ye walk contrary unto me, I will not hearken unto me. Hold on. And if ye walk contrary unto me, I will not hearken unto me. I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. Whoa. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in numbers, and your highways shall be desolate. Now, right there, when you talk about wild beasts, you know, a lot of you saying, look, I drive a Pontiac or I drive a Chevy. That don't have nothing to do with me. I don't have no beasts. We got to look not just at what we're going through individually. We're talking about a nation. Our people used to own farms. Yeah, even, you know, right out of slavery, they owned farms. But even before that, when we lived in Israel, some of this relates. And then when we were scattered to all four corners, some of this will relate. Again, we got to look at Israel as a whole nation. Check this out. All right, so verse 22. I will also send, well, I read that one, 23. And if you will not be reformed by me, by these things, but will walk contrary to me, then I will also walk contrary to you and will punish you seven times for your sins. Again, he keeps saying this word seven.
And wouldn't you say that we suffer probably seven times more than any other nation? How about this one? Let's look at this. Would you think that Israel, the people in Israel, suffer seven times more? No. It don't even make sense. There's nowhere in the world Israel, with the amount of money they get, their gross national product, gross domestic product, there's no way in the world they suffer seven times worse than any other nation. India will eat them alive. But we suffer. India is a nation. They do have a home. They have it better than us. I mean, I'm talking about the nation. And they may have the untouchables inside of the nation, those blacks that are at the bottom, which are nothing more than our brothers and sisters, okay? So, verse 25, and I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when ye are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestle among you, and ye shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. This is when we was in the land, and when the Most High came against Israel, and they began to suffer, and eventually he scattered them. I want to jump all the way down to 44 because I can't read all of this, but all this is good. Again, in verse 28, he mentions it again, seven times harder. I want to read verse number 40, Leviticus 26 and 40, okay? If thou shalt confess their iniquity and the iniquity of thy fathers with thy trespasses, which shall trespass against me, and that also that have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary to them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised heart be unhumbled, shall be humbled, sorry, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land, and the land shall be left thereof, and shall enjoy her Sabbath. Hold on, bear with me here. I'm having the hardest time today here, doing about three things, so y'all have to bear with me. The land also shall be left of them, and they shall enjoy her Sabbath. Talking about the land is going to enjoy her Sabbath because Most High is going to scatter Israel, is what he's getting ready to say here. Will she lie desolate without them, and they shall accept the punishment of their increase, because even because they despise my judgment, and because their souls abhor my statutes. Verse 44. And yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, now they're in the land of their enemies, watch this. I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them, to destroy them utterly. This is good news here. And to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. But I will for their sakes remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. Now, what this is basically saying, that when the Most High scattered Israel, that he will remember his covenant. He will remember the land because he is their God. Now, watch this. Every single thing Israel goes through, remember, we read Deuteronomy 28 at the beginning of this show. Those of you that might tune in a little later on, we read Deuteronomy 28 and 46, where Moses said that these things are going to be upon you forever. So Israel is to repeat and repeat and repeat. If they disobey, they're going to walk in those curses over and over and over again. So even though these scriptures are ancient and they went through this long time, but that's one thing that used to bother me. I used to say, yeah, this is all sound fine and dandy, but this was a long time ago. But remember, Deuteronomy 28 and 46 said again, and they shall be upon thee for a sign and a wonder and unto thy seed forever. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and a wonder and unto thy seed forever. So again, I'm going to read verse 44 with that in mind. And yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly. He is not going to utterly destroy Israel and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. But I will, for their sakes, remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I have brought from out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen, that I may be their God. I am the Lord.
okay? These, verse 46, these are the statutes and the judgments and laws which the Lord made between him and the children of Israel in the Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. This whole chapter, again, Leviticus 26 is not as large as Leviticus 28, Deuteronomy 28, but there's still a lot of good reading in here that Israel will go through as a people, prophecies about Israel, the nation, what they will go through. And again, Moses said it's going to be upon them forever. So anytime you're reading your Bible and you see Israel going through a specific thing, and it's ancient, of course it was thousands of years ago, it seemed like it's so irrelevant to your life. You know, you sitting there, you know, going about your business, working on your job, talking with your neighbors, it seemed like it's so far, far away. Remember, Deuteronomy 28:46 did it for me. This is how I knew it was Israel, when Moses said out of his mouth, these curses or blessings is going to be upon Israel forever. 2011 is not the end of forever. So if you want to know who a true Jew is, you look for these blessings or you look for these curses upon a people. And when you look at us as a people, nope, we live out these more than anybody else. But there are so many others, okay? Again, y'all have just got to break down and go get your Bible out, sit down, get a cup of coffee, invest in about 2 or 3 hours and just look up, read Deuteronomy 28 slowly, and read Leviticus 26 slowly. That's just your beginning. Then read the whole Old Testament. And not just the Old Testament, but the New Testament, because the whole Bible is about our people. Our people reject the Messiah received the Gentiles in. Now the whole planet can become a Jew. We call them spiritual Jews. But natural bloodline Jews is not done with yet. The scripture says that Paul asked that question in Romans. What then hath the Jew? Why do we even need to know there's a Jew? He asked that question. And he goes on to say, and I'm not going to turn because we've got other scriptures we want to look at, but he goes on to say that God gave them history, that we learned about the Most High through the history of the Jews. But God has not forsaken his people. And he goes on to talk about there's a remnant that remains, that he's going to do a work with a remnant. Again, that remnant is going to return to Israel. The Most High knew that all of Israel would not come back home because we would be scattered in these nations, would be having babies in these nations, having lifestyles that would afford us a better way of living, a higher quality of life, and going to Israel would be the furthest thing from our minds. He knew that, but there is that remnant. There is that election that I believe Romans 10 talk about. Election, okay? But if we're going to look in Habakkuk is another good book. Habakkuk, everybody turn to Habakkuk, please. All right? We can just turn to Habakkuk. While y'all turn to Habakkuk, I want to say this. Now I'm trying to do 2 or 3 things here. My phone, I'm having to hold it. Normally I speak on the speaker. But while everybody's turning to Habakkuk, I want to just give out some other scriptures. I'll just wait here because I want y'all to actually write these down. So we'll give a minute for everybody to find Habakkuk. But there are so many verses that is it's like a duplicate of our life as a nation. I said this a lot of times, anything so-called black people go through as a nation is in the Bible. Anything. I'm not talking about one or two people do something stupid. I'm talking about anything that we do as a nation. In other words, you see black people always doing it over and over and over. They keep doing it. If we keep doing it, it's in the book. It's just that simple. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm going to go here. Anything you see the people of the nation of Israel do over and over and over and over again, look in the scriptures, it's not there. The Holocaust is a horrible thing that Israel had to go through. But the Holocaust is not in the Bible. nowhere in the Bible is the Holocaust. And that is the one claim that the Jewish people constantly talk about that makes them Jew. You can't let one act because some man kill up a whole bunch of people. Hitler does not define who Jews are. No believer should be running around quoting what Hitler say. We only acknowledge them as Jews because Hitler does something to them, and he calls them Jews. Just because he did that to them don't make them Jews. Again, the Most High is going to tell you what Israel is going to go through, and putting them in gas oven was not one of them. But Habakkuk, you should have it now. This whole book, I call this the so-called black man's book. When I read this book, I said, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I mean, I'd be tempted to sometimes use this over Deuteronomy. Let me try to read this. We got 7 minutes. I think what we'll do, let's read verse chapter 2, because chapter 1 is full of. Okay, let me just read. I'm going to read as much as I can. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Let's skip down, please. I gotta go here. Okay, let's read verse 12, Habakkuk 1 and 12. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One, which shall not die? O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment. What? You heard me. I said, thou hast ordained them for judgment. Yes, the Most High does ordain a nation for judgment. And Almighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art a purer eyes than to behold evil. Israel was going through evil. They was going through trouble with the nation. And Habakkuk is writing. He's saying, I see. See, I'm going to tell you the story. You can go home and read this on your own. But Habakkuk is complaining to the Most High. He's an Israelite. He's going through a lot of pain with this, with the oppressors. And he goes on to say, you know, the Most High began to speak to him. And he says, oh, so I see what you're doing. You have ordained these people. You caused these people to rise to judge them. You've ordained them for judgment, and you have established them that they may be corrected. And then he goes on to say, thou art, this is Habakkuk talking to the Most High, thou art of a pure eyes than to behold evil. In other words, you can't tolerate these people either. And canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devour the man that is more righteous than he? And makest men as the fishes of the sea, and as the creeping things. They have no rule over them. Okay. They take up all of them with their angle, and catch them with their net, and gather them in their drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Talking about the wicked. Therefore they sacrifice unto their net, and burn incense unto their drag. Okay, this is talking about what the wicked people use to oppress people. Repeat. Verse 16. Therefore thou sacrifice unto their net, and burn incense unto their drag, because by them their portion is fat. Their net and their drag make these people fat, and their meat plenteous. So they therefore empty their nets, and not spare continually to slay the nations. So the people that's ruling over Israel is slaying nations. I'm telling y'all, we don't have much time here, but you gotta read Habakkuk, the whole entire book. At one point in Habakkuk, I'm trying to find a verse where it says that these people that Habakkuk is complaining about, this man is just complaining to the Most High. He sounds like one of us. He's talking about how that they're using images to teach. I know y'all don't hear me when I said that. They're using images to teach. So he goes on to say, the Most High answers him, and I'm going to make y'all just search that for yourself as what he says. When Habakkuk get through complaining, kind of like Job did. You remember when Job was just going off and saying how, you know, how hard he had it, and then Most High answers and says, where were you at when I created this, and where were you at when I created that? That's kind of what Habakkuk is on a smaller version. But it's powerful. This book is powerful. Please read Habakkuk. I call it the black man's book. You know, if you got a husband or a boyfriend that's always complaining about how hard we have it as a nation, have them read Habakkuk. Have them read Habakkuk. It is amazing. It's short. It's not a long read, but it's powerful. I mean, the things that Habakkuk is complaining about, it's just amazing, okay? I'm not going to read. I'm tempted to read more, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'll just, maybe we'll just read that next week. But, folks, you know what? I can read many, many scriptures. For me, it just took reading one scripture. Deuteronomy 28 and 46 did it for me. When I saw where the Most High said that these things is going to be upon Israel forever, I knew to look for a nation that was living out Deuteronomy 28. Some of y'all, it takes more than that. And it don't mean I'm smarter than you or wiser than you or none of that. Just everybody, some things that take you quick takes me forever to get with different people. All I'm saying is Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26 and the whole Bible, really. Psalms is another good one. You know, Psalms keep talking about, and people shall sigh, sigh, sigh. That's where you get all that sighing. All I'm saying is, when you look at this, you got to ask yourself, who live it out? And if we are Israel again, it's going to change. It should change your relationship with the Most High. Because I know for a fact a lot of black people hold bitterness against the Most High. It may be subconscious. It may be some subtle thing. But they do. They have issues. I know they do. I've heard people say different things. So if this is true, then our life should make a lot of sense. And you should share that, Mr. White man and white woman. Our white brothers and sisters should share this with their people and say this is why they're suffering. Because they're Israel. They're the true Israelites. And that's why they're going through things that are not going to change until the Most High have mercy upon them, which he said he would do after a certain amount of time. And we believe, by the way, that time is done. We believe that. We believe now is the changing of the guards. That's the good news. That's the good news. But first I have to lay down this other information. But the good news is we serve this Pharaoh. And it's the changing of the guard. That's why I'm on Blog Talk Radio sharing this. If it wasn't time, I couldn't even share this. But a part of Israel waking up is Israel got to first find out who they are. So in the next few generations, I look for a strong remnant to return. I look for a strong remnant to return. So I'm just letting everybody know that without this revelation, the Bible is not going to make sense, and the Most High is going to look like a tyrant. He's going to look like he's just picking on us. He's going to look like he's just, you know, after us with the belt, so to speak. But if my people, which are called my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will he hear from heaven, and he will heal this nation. That scripture is for a nation, okay? Again, if you fear the Most High in your own personal lives, you can always have victory over any obstacle. But I'm talking about a nation. So what, you got everything and you're doing well? What about your nation? So let's meet next week. Don't forget this Tuesday. This week is going to be this Tuesday night. We're going to be on again at midnight talking about the Federation of International Jews. Shalom.